The views expressed in our Chop Talk podcast are those of the individual participants only and do not necessarily express the views of the Lambda Chi Alpha fraternity or its chapters or members. Our Chop Talk podcasts are intended to be as open and honest with our members as possible, but we acknowledge that certain topics may be sensitive, graphic, or emotionally challenging. Please use your own discretion to avoid any material that you may find potentially painful or difficult.
Hey, Taylor.
Hey, Mike.
How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're on a screen.
We are on a screen and we're not together, so that is kind of sad, but you know, we're virtually together, so that's good.
That's true. Back to COVID days again.
Exactly. Exactly. But you know, we're vodcasting, we're getting it down. So
we're trying new things. So we'll see how this goes, but I wanted to, do the quick intro. And so this is the third part of our series, with Dr. Anthony Bradley. So Taylor, since I wasn't on the last podcast, do you want to give a little recap on where we took it last time?
Yeah, 100%. So last time we were chatting with Troy Medley, our CEO, and Anthony Bradley, just about higher education and what that kind of landscape looks like at this point. You know, we talked about it's changed so dramatically since, you know, you and I have been in college, even in the past, I would say, few years, it's changed. And, you know, that means that there are fewer male students who are being enrolled. And it's just very, very different. So we're very much talking with Troy about what that looks like and how Lambda Chi Alpha can become more creative in how we recruit members and really give them the benefit of Lambda Chi Alpha. So that was kind of our past conversation. And so this third part, this third and final part, we're talking with Anthony Bradley once again, and also bringing on our chief learning officer, Simon Taylor, to talk about Lambda Chi Academy. So this great new platform that we are launching actually next week. So the 18th of September. So that's exciting. And just how that really adds to the experience of Lambda Chi Alpha.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm excited to kind of talk about this. I know everyone's been working super hard, especially on the Simon's team on really getting this platform up and running and getting the content in there and building this great interactive model that we're going to be doing. So I'm definitely excited to talk about that today.
Yeah, me too. So we've got Simon and Anthony ready to go. So you want to bring them on?
Let's do it.
Hello, Anthony and Simon. How are we doing?
Doing very well, thank you. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too. Hi, Anthony. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mike and I were just introducing our third and final part of the series, so we're excited to kind of dive into it. So we gave our synopsis of the first two parts and what we talked about. So first of all, I would just love to start with maybe an overview of Lambda Chi Academy. So we set that up. We're going to be talking about this great program that we are launching next week, September 18th. So very exciting. So Simon, I want to kick it to you first. Would you just give us just a very quick overview of what Lambda Chi Academy is?
Yeah, absolutely. In a nutshell, it's our center of excellence. It's our home for learning. And that's everything from onboarding a brother and their membership experience to training our officers and also making that vital bridge between campus and career. Mm-hmm. And it's a very exciting, very engaging offering. And the beauty about it is it completely connects chapters together, but also chapters with alumni, because we have got this fantastic network who can play a vital role in developing our young men. And now, through the academy, they'll have a platform for doing so.
Yeah, that's perfect. And, you know, we had Leadership Skills Certification Academy and Ideal Man, but this new iteration, I feel like, is just so much more exciting and interactive, like you said, and very social. So I think that's really exciting. And that really goes into what we've been talking about of this idea that fraternity really, you know, it really fosters a connection and relationship between brothers. So, you know, Anthony, in your mind, just hearing, you know, and kind of seeing the platform yourself, how do you think that really adds a benefit to membership in Lambda Chi Alpha?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I think it's really important to understand that that fraternity is formational, that we're simply not bringing in young men for the purpose of giving them a social club, but there is a formation aspect. We are forming them into the great men that we believe they can be. That requires some instruction. It requires some direction. It requires some intentionality. Mm-hmm. What it requires is for older brothers to see younger brothers as works in progress toward greatness. It's a partnership between alumni and older brothers and new brothers for the purpose of forming them into certain kinds of people. And what you're doing, particularly with Lambda Chi, is that you're forming them in a way that's consistent with the mission and the vision and the values of Lambda Chi, because you believe that bringing men into these values and this vision and this mission, these are the types of men that we want to send out back into the world, mm-hmm, for the purpose of serving and making our communities better. And so this really sort of levels up the fraternity experience beyond simply, you know, the proper fun aspects, which are great, mm-hmm, the social aspects, which are fantastic, the brotherhood aspects as well, which are just incredibly dynamic. But this does something unique. This is saying that we are about formation. One of the conversations I had with a young man at the University of Virginia and discussing fraternity life, this is what he said to me about his fraternity. He said that he wishes that his fraternity was formational. Hmm. And that he said he wishes that his fraternity had a place that was developing men, not simply providing men with access to internships and alumni, but was developmental. And so by adding something like this academy, you are fostering the sorts of things that universities cannot do. Universities don't develop students anymore. They used to, but they can't do it anymore because they're not allowed to be directional with certain kinds of principles, and they don't have the staffing and the expertise. And I think insofar over the years, as brothers are formed in these ideas and formed in these principles, that developmental aspect will be something that you'll recruit on the basis of, right? Come here and we will use our vision and our mission and our values to make you into an absolutely fantastic man who will leave this university, this college, and do great things.
Yeah, 100%. I can see Simon smiling because I feel like this is just music to your ears.
Absolutely. I'm enjoying going through Anthony's book. And what he said is exactly what we're trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. You know, we get men from all across North America with very different experiences. And one of the first programs that we're going to get them involved in is called Ideal Man. Mm-hmm. And that's really building a young man of character. And that's a really tough thing to do. And it's about understanding values, it's understanding their application in the real world on a daily basis and what they mean. It's about getting people to work in a community and find out how they work with people of different personalities, different mm-hmm. backgrounds. All of that, in my view, is priceless, because not only are you making a more rounded individual, but we're sending an individual out into the workplace who now has an experience that a lot of his peers simply will not have.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
One thing I was going to say, and I think Dr. Bradley hit on this too, is that there's certain skill sets that universities aren't preparing students for anymore. And I think that's very important to touch on, because I do agree. I think, and this may be the wrong terminology, but I feel like institutions are churning out workforce robots where they have the knowledge and skill sets to get basic tasks done, but there's no interpersonal skill sets. There's no there's none of those soft skills, I think, that are being added to their education. So when they get to the workforce, they feel so unprepared. I think that causes anxiety to shoot up. I think there's a lot of things that are a side effect of that. But I think it having something like this that can start preparing people for the world outside of just the workforce and being a well-rounded individual and not just an employee, I think, is like Simon said, is priceless.
Yeah, what's happening on the context of university campuses is they are graduating specialists in particular work areas. And in the States, we've moved away from seeing the university as a place of development and formation. That was the university about 150 years ago was a place in the States that was forming people. Everyone was sort of studying the liberal arts. They were reading art. They were reading literature. They were reading acts of, right? These sort of great pieces of literature. They were engaged in arts. Now, this is what's so amazing about this program that I think is really fantastic. It actually is returning fraternity back to its original design and purpose, which was to develop men and to make them into great men. Remember that when fraternity started, they emphasize the development of these soft skills, the development of skills that would help you succeed in the marketplace and in the world. So remember when fraternity started, they would read these acts of philosophy and literature and debate them. You had to learn how to debate. You had to learn how to give speeches. You would have to learn how to be in rooms with different people and argue back and forth. You had to learn how to sing, right? You had to learn music. You had to learn how to come together for the purpose of local service. I mean, it was all a part of that. I mean, it was really something developmental. Mm-hmm. That was the purpose. And so many fraternities have gotten away from that, so much that fraternity life, it has become recreation, not development. And the university has become really about graduating specialists in narrow areas who can become future donors back to those specializations, but it's also not developmental. So if a parent is listening to this, the parent needs to ask this question. Where on a college campus can my son get development, get formation?
Right.
And the only place that's going to happen outside of team sports and maybe RLTC is fraternities. If your son is not in a fraternity, or if he doesn't play sports and he has a great coach, or he's not in some sort of military training, he will not get developed at all. He will be making it up as he goes. And so what's going to happen is when he graduates, he's going to, the technical term is fail to launch. He's going to fail to launch. So when he gets out in his early 20s, he's going to struggle and flounder because all the things that he could have gotten in those 4 years that he should have gotten developmentally, he will not have. And so being in a fraternity and having Lane McKay, having this academy, having the Ideal Man program is absolutely vital to these young men being able to launch their lives and careers and families and community activism, all those things successfully when they get out of college, through their 20s, into their early 30s. So it's absolutely necessary. And I would also tell parents, if you're encouraging your sons to look for fraternities, if they don't have a program like this, tell them to move on. Because they're wasting their time and parents will be wasting their money paying dues for their sons. They don't have, if the fraternity is not developmental, you're wasting your son's time and money. So this to me, I think is really going to make Lambda Chi one of the leading fraternities in the country.
Totally agree. And one of the things that I think is important to acknowledge since you brought that up is that fraternities didn't stem as social organizations as far as what we know today in fraternity sorority life. It really started from study groups and clubs of people who were in the same majors and things like that, where they were developmental organizations, and they were pushing their members to be successful in their career paths. And I think we as an organization, I say like fraternities and sororities as a whole, have lost sight of that piece. And I think that's something that Lambda Chi and Simon's team is really working towards, riding that ship and getting us on that right direction towards the great North Star of where we need to be developing and getting people to the place that is a good, well-rounded, holistic individual for society.
You know, I'm hearing you all talk here, and I'm ready to start jumping up and down in London. Right? Because when we started design all this and build this thing, this beast, I came across, now as Americans, you'd know this, a chap called Booker T. Washington. And I started to read his writings. Now, I have to get one of his original books because he is like a hero to me. Because all what you were talking about there, Anthony, was all, that was his Sunday sermon to his students. Everything that you were saying. Now, I know he wasn't a Lambda Chi. I'll happily claim him. But those sentiments of what he wanted, that is what our young men need to hear. You know, we need Booker T. Washingtons in every campus. We can't do that, but we can give you a Lambda Chi chapter.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, Simon, what in particular about Booker T. Washington sort of stands out to you that you would draw sort of students to sort of think about him as a figure or as a chapter to sort of frame what a college experience ought to be like?
It was always, he talked continually about character. He talked about how character is power, what character was made up of. You know, and it's in these lessons he talks about the legacy of character and how it influences other people. But really, it was the fact that despite his experience as a slave, despite all that he endured, he rose above that, became a man of character and said, look, don't forget what happened, but you've got to learn to move on. And you've got to be leaders in society because you owe it to yourselves to be leaders in society. That's what I took from his writing. So I hope I haven't crossed any boundaries there. So I really admired him for his experience and being able to act as an example to his community.
That's exactly right. I think one of the things that the Booker T. Washington did as well, which is something that fraternities do well when they're properly activated, which I think this Idle Man program, you know, all things that you guys are doing, it's actually giving guys hope that in the midst of their past experience with adversity and challenge and pain and suffering, which is the consistent narrative of being a human being, to give them hope that they can make a real difference in the world, that your past doesn't define you, that your past struggles don't define you, that everything that happened to you or things that should have happened to you that did not happen, things that you needed that you did not get, in spite of all of the rubbish, right? In spite of all of the things that were terrible in your life, we need you. We need you.
Yeah.
We need you to rise up and to step up and to make your community a better place. And so the thing that Booker T. Washington did is he gave them hope that their lives mattered and that we would be worse off as a world, as a community, as a culture, if they were not a part of it. And I think one of the things that this framework does, that the Academy does, is it provides a context for hope, and it explains, and also you add that with the leadership component. What it does, it frames and completely weds together, on the one hand, who you can be, who you are, and secondly, how you can make a difference and make things better. So there is sort of built into the system an encouragement to press on, to move along, to move ahead, and to persevere through all of the challenges, because all of those things that that were challenging and difficult, these are the things that are actually going to make you great. Mm-hmm. And give you some perspective and some humility and allow you to make a real contribution to a business, to a family, to a community, to, yeah. to make yeah. everything better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. And Anthony, I want to circle back from something we talked about on the first edition of this series. And it was about university support, right? I'm hoping that with Lambda Chi launching this program, we can show institutions that what we're trying to do with fraternity is different, and we're trying to change the conversation about fraternities and sororities. Because, and Simon, just to give you context, one of the things we were talking about is that institutions are becoming very quick to just give punitive sanctions to chapters and provide less support on the professional support on the campus, instead of providing more support, where we were talking about that fraternities can be, do such a great thing for the institution, such a great thing for the men on the campus, but they're not. And so I just want to kind of circle back on that, because I think that's so important for what Lambda Chi is trying to do.
Look, 100%. And Anthony, he covers it in his book. You know, universities immediately go for punitive sanctions when somebody has committed some egregious error. But no university starts off and starts looking at a man or woman's character and thinking, you know, are you going to be a good example in society? Can we work with you? You know, and in fact, if universities did that, with the pressure they're under now, they would go out of business. So the so what of that is, fraternities are more important than ever before. We have a major gap to fill. Mm-hmm. And to be, if a university was probably honest, and I'm talking on their behalf, they'd probably say, thank goodness you're here. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a leap.
Well, I think it's interesting that to sort of track the framing of the student affairs part of the university and how student affairs has changed over the years. In some schools, it was called student development. That was a framework at some schools. It sort of passed away in many ways, and now it's just sort of student affairs. And students, especially if it's a large university, they can't do formation. They can't do development because yeah. they're just managing thousands yeah. of programs and opportunities for students to either get in trouble, right, stay out of trouble, or just have fun to keep them distracted and keep them busy. I'll use this word a lot. There are many student affairs departments at universities where their job is just to keep students busy.
Yep.
Just yep. to keep them busy.
Right.
And what's happened is has sort of been this sort of this trickle down effect where the university's mission isn't really how they hire faculty. The mission isn't how they recruit students. Could you imagine what would happen if the university's mission was a criteria that they use for admissions?
Well, yeah.
Right? I mean, it would completely disrupt how we do college admissions, right? So because the universities are no longer mission driven throughout the institution, that also affects student affairs and student life, and student development is also not really mission driven. And so if you want the sort of formation and character that actually changes people over time, you have to do that in an institution like a fraternity or a sorority. That's really the only place it happens because it has to happen in community.
Yeah.
It's through relationships. You can't get this in a book. You actually can't get this by looking at a bunch of podcasts on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You have to live this out and test it and experience it in community with others.
Yeah.
You have to see it succeed and fail in the struggles. It's kind of honed inside a real life experience. it's, and that's where the development happens. It happens when brothers are trying to work out a conflict, or when they're celebrating a success together, or when they're working through something difficult together. That's where all of the development happens, right? When your brother's parent dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you don't get that internship, mm-hmm. when you had a party that had some issues, you got to work those issues out. Or when you had a party that went great, yeah. right? It was fantastic. Yeah. You're trying to figure out what happened, right? You have brothers who came in and they were not great people. And now that guy who was the guy that everybody didn't really like so much his freshman year, he's a junior. Now he's the president. Well, how did that happen? How did he change from being this person that people are like, he kind of rubs me the wrong way, to now he's a fantastic leader, not just in the fraternity, but also on campus. Right. And right. these are some of the advantages of having programs that are directional and that have some intentionality behind them.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Simon.
No, I was just saying, and if we flip this, like if you walk in any American university, any British university, and you say, what's the mission of your university? What are the values? I would be surprised if any of the students could articulate or answer whatever is on the brochure.
Right.
Booker, if you went to Booker, you know, and it was, I'm going to butcher this. Is Tuskegee? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah,
Tuskegee.
Yeah. It was close. And if you went there, I can tell you now, every one of his students, boys and girls, would have known the mission. They would have known the values of that university because he drilled it into them because he was forming, and that's why what Lambda Chi is doing as well. You know, in the Lambda Chi Academy, when we take our associate members, they're examining values. They're examining their application. They're working with alumni. When we're in the other program and we're developing leaders, we're looking at character. We're looking at actually what that means and how we develop our character as a leader. There's so much in this that, frankly, a university does not deliver anymore.
Right.
So I just want to circle back on that and bring it back to my new hero.
Yes, absolutely.
And again, one of the reasons that they were able to know the mission so well is that they lived it out every day.
There you go.
They just didn't learn it in a classroom or learn it in an informational session or learn it in a week or 2 weeks at the beginning of the year. It was embedded and integrated into every aspect of how they did their courses, how they participated in campus life. They lived it out. And so I always encourage chapters to think about it this way. The fraternity's history is not just information that you need, right, during rush and during your pledgeship. When you memorize the vision and the mission and the values, those aren't just for the entry point. Those are to be the things that you are living out day to day. It's a part of the lexicon, right? It's a part of the vocabulary of how the fraternity lives out its life every day. That's how it becomes developmental. And that's what Booker T. Washington was doing. And so I would really encourage chapters to think about how do we always keep these words, loyalty and commitment? I mean, how do we keep these words at the tip of our tongue in our conversations with each other, in our conversations with alumni, in our conversations with nationals? How do we always keep these words fresh on our mind so that they are actually changing the culture of the chapter, but also developing us into the men that we believe that Lambda Chi produces?
Yeah, 100%. So I think that, you know, with all of this great information that we've talked about with Lambda Chi Academy and how, you know, developmental it is, this is something that we want all of our members to benefit from and really get into. So I guess my question for, you know, both Anthony and Simon is, how can we continue to expand these programs so that they are benefiting all members? So Simon, I'll start with you and kind of, you know, the roadmap for Lambda Chi Academy.
So we have a very packed development pipeline over the next 18 months. Ideal man, it's starting off with what is the ideal man? And we're moving through then to building relationships. So how do you work in teams? We then look at leadership and then we look at legacy. So we've got to build that out. The STED Leadership College, the other part, we've got to bring in a lot of role-ready journeys for the different officers. And one coming out the gate before Christmas is going to be focused on learning and development. And that's for the young man who's in charge of training in the chapter. Because everything that we build within the STED Leadership College is linked to a career.
Yeah.
So the chap in charge of finance, everything is linked towards what would this look like in the world of finance?
Right.
The person in charge of recruiting, what does this look like in the world of sales? Now, it's a light touch, but it's making them realize going, this isn't just giggles and having a good time. I'm running a small business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we've got a packed development pipeline. And the last thing, you know, to really make this grow is I'm going to be looking at more and more opportunities to bring alumni in. You know, we need the Anthony Bradleys of this world to be deep inside designing, bringing content to life and having these chats. You know, they're the future. They're the ones who are out there doing it. And we need to make those connections.
Yeah, that's great. And so, Anthony, in your mind, how do you think that, you know, this academy, these programs can really benefit not just like the leaders of our chapters, but every single member that's in this fraternity?
Yes, they need to be immensely practical. Mm-hmm. They need to be, I'll say that again, they need to be immensely practical. They need to answer the so what question.
Right.
And what they have to do, they have to take guys as far down the line as possible in terms of the application to daily life that it could make and the difference that it could actually make. It has to be immensely and intentionally practical. And some of the ways, by the way, to get insight on the practicality of these programs is alumni. Mm-hmm. You actually need people who are further down the line who can say, hey, you're learning these principles over here. This is how it matters, not just in business, but in my marriage. Mm-hmm. This is how it matters in me raising children. This is how it matters in me living in my neighborhood with my neighbors. This is how it matters at work. This is how it matters when I'm a little league coach. It matters in so many different realms and different spheres of human life. I mean, we're talking about forming men, not just to be good leaders in the marketplace, but to be good citizens mm-hmm. of a community, right? And so insofar as these can really be laid out in terms of the practicality, the details of application, it'll draw more and more interest. I mean, this is exactly why lads right now are listening to Andrew Tate. This is why they're listening to Jordan Peterson. This is why they're listening. They're on YouTube watching these self-improvement videos. Mm-hmm. Because all of this content is incredibly and distinctly and uniquely practical. They're telling guys the big ideas, but they're also giving them the so what and where and how. They're answering all of those questions. And so if it's just another program of principles, it's not going to bear much fruit beyond the days or weeks or when it's given. But when it actually makes a difference in their daily life, when it applies to how they study, when it applies to how they have relationships with their friends, romantic relationships, relationships with their professors, getting internships, getting jobs, interviewing, those sorts of extremely practical things is where all of these programs land and really embed themselves internally and become a part of the DNA not just of a chapter, but of a man himself. If a man wants to become an ideal man, then the program has to paint a picture really clearly of how it applies in day-to-day life. And here's the invitation. Ask these men, do you want to be a great? Do you want to be a great man? Do you want to be a man whose life is significant? Do you want to have a life that matters? Do you want to be remembered at your funeral for having certain attributes? Well, if the answer to those questions are yes, well, then we have a program that can help you do that. And we're going to lay it out to you in as much detail as possible so that you can see the difference that it can make in someone's life. I've been working with young adults and youth for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And I think that what's been missing in so many of these contexts, especially in the context of leadership, we focus so much on leadership, not enough on character. But what we've categorically missed is why it matters. And right. I think young people today, college students are pretty savvy. They're pretty smart. They don't have time for things that are just sort of pie in the sky, kind of airy fairy, abstractions. They're okay with the abstraction if they know it's going to make a real difference in their life. And I think insofar as you all are able to paint a picture and they can see clearly the difference it makes, not only will they want to do the program, they'll want more.
Yeah.
They'll want an alumni version. And that's what you want, right? You want them to sort of have the college version and say, okay, what's next? I want the 2.0. I want the 3.0. I want the advanced version of this as well.
Anthony, you're right. You're killing me. We've just started, but you're absolutely right. You know,
yeah.
You've nailed it. You know, we can't just stop when they graduate.
Yeah. I mean, that's the pipeline that you want, right? We're beginning this process of development. And we're not stupid. We know that you're not going to be fully developed by the time you're 22 years old or 21 or 22 or 23. We're not dumb, right? So we know you're in process. So we're going to get the beginnings of this, right? We're going to set up the structure of this. And then we're going to deliver you into the alumni world where they will take it to the next level. That's the kind of program that really yields the sort of fruit that you want.
I kind of want to wrap everything up today and really start just kind of what is everyone's takeaway? And one of the things I was going to start with is Lambda Chi's mission, right? We were talking about institutional missions. And so I want to kind of bring Lambda Chi's in there, and it's to inspire and equip men to lead an ethical life of growth, service, and leadership. And I think that's something for the members that are listening today that you should commit to memory because when someone asks you, what is Lambda Chi about? I think that is something that you should be able to tell them is what the organization is trying to do.
Yeah, 100%. So I'll kick it over to Simon. What would you say is your biggest takeaway? You know, the so what of this conversation, if you will.
Do you know, I mean, really enjoyed this with Anthony and the nugget that he gave me and he reinforces, make sure it's absolutely practical.
Yeah.
And that means in terms of the signposting and the learning that our young men can see the value and we explain the value to them. And that's something I'm going to go away. I'm going to reflect on and make sure that we have done enough and what we can do more of. And the last bit, look, he hits the nail on the head. He comes in and he says, so what? What are you going to do next? So anybody listening to this who wants to get involved and wants to support and thinks, you know, I can help Simon and the team here, you know, please reach out. But I found this conversation actually invaluable. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So Anthony, I'll kick it to you last. What is your biggest takeaway, you know, from this conversation or even our two other conversations as we kind of wrap up this three-part series?
Yeah, I just want to thank you all again for having me on. This has been so encouraging and inspiring and just affirming that I'm not crazy with the book project. You know, it's
definitely are not.
I'm sort of stepping in a minefield for sure, and I'm really excited about the opportunity that you've given me to speak into Lambda Chi here, and I'm really excited and encouraged that you all are taking characters seriously. I mean, that to me is one of my hopes about the whole project, is that more fraternities would resurrect their character emphasis. And the fact that you all are putting this in a structure on purpose is really delightful. The big takeaway for me, and this is something I would tell the lads who are coming in and the leaders and the alumni, is like, listen, you go to college once. Mm-hmm. You live once. You have one chance to work out the details of what it means to be a person who can lead an ethical life of growth and service and leadership. You get one shot at this. And what are you willing to trade off from this day until you die to be someone who's remembered as a man who lived a life of ethical service and growth and leadership? What would you be willing to trade off for that to be your reputation? Because you get one shot at this. And what Lambda Chi Alpha is doing is it's providing a pathway and a journey and a structure for you to make something of your life in a world that doesn't believe that we need you or that you matter. And you get one shot at this. So don't take this lightly.
Yeah.
Don't take this as something that's sort of merely a party. Don't take it as something merely as a 4 years of fun. But this is really an opportunity to do something historic so that 100 years after you die, someone is telling a story about the impact that you made. And Lambda Chi Alpha and the Ideal Man Program and the Leadership Program and the Academy is the beginning of establishing that legacy, because you only get one chance to do this.
Definitely.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. That's fantastic. I think that's a great place to end the series. So thank you so much, Dr. Bradley, for joining us. Thank you, Simon, for joining us as well on this part. I think this has been fantastic. And we are so excited to continue to grow and see where this leads us. So thank you both so much.
Cheers.
So this has really been a fun three-part series. Definitely glad that we got to end it with Simon, because I know him and his team have been working so hard on everything to do with the STED Leadership College and Ideal Man. And so also it was great to hear Dr. Bradley's thoughts on everything that Lambda Chi is doing. He's not a member of Lambda Chi Alpha. He is a member of a fraternity. So it was cool to hear that he was so impressed with everything that Lambda Chi Alpha is doing.
Yeah, I mean, it really... makes it worthwhile, I think, that someone of his nature, you know, and what he's trying to do with his book, and just, a big proponent of Greek life, is so on board with what we're doing. So it's encouraging, really. And I also do want to point out that Mike and I are very underdressed from where we started. So it's fine. We're recording this on a different day. It's all fine.
Podcasting after hours.
Exactly. But yeah, I totally agree with Mike. I think that this three-part series was so exciting and refreshing too, because it's really nice to hear an outsider's view of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, totally agree with you.
Yeah. And I was just thinking back on the whole series and really what was my favorite highlight or moment from it. And I think it was just the excitement of listening to Troy talk or Simon talk or anyone talk to Dr. Bradley about what he's doing, what we're doing. It just, it seems like everyone is in the right place. We are, yes, we are making the right moves. And so I think that has been the highlight of this series for me, is just seeing everyone so energized and excited about what's happening next.
Oh, totally. Totally. And, you know, I think this is a testament to Dr. Bradley too, and just how well spoken he is about Greek life. Mm-hmm. But, you know, both Troy and Simon after the fact were like, that was one of my favorite conversations. That was so awesome. Right. So yeah, again, totally agree with you. And then I think that, you know, one thing that stuck with me, and it was from this last part, is Dr. Bradley's sentiment of, you know, we only have one life to live. And I thought that that was a really great kind of soundbite. And, you know, what you choose to do with it matters. It does. And college is, it's just 4 years. You know, and while it's so important and such a formational time in your life, it's what you're going to be doing down the line. And how is an organization such as Lambda Chi Alpha going to help you with that?
Right. No, totally agree. So like I said, it's a great 3-part series. If this is the first one you're listening to, definitely go back, listen to part one and part two. It is definitely worth it.
Yep, 100%. So again, thank you to Dr. Bradley, Troy, and Simon for their time. And I think that we are getting the hang of vodcasting. So you'll probably us. Yeah, you'll probably see us in the future too on screen. So
awesome. So on behalf of myself, Taylor, and everyone here at the Office Administration, thanks for listening, watching.
Both. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.